Life could be a dream. Life could be a dream.
Hello, you're listening to a special quarantine edition of Life is Short. I'm your host, Justin Long.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart.
With me, as always, in and out of quarantine, is my brother Christian.
Not always no, when we're out of quarantine.
I shouldn't say that. Why do I keep saying that? That just sounds like it's got like a radio ring.
My Siamese twin, Christian Long.
Yeah, but lately we've been around each other a lot, and we've been staying positive. And
thank you for allowing us to do these quarantine check-ins, because yeah, we've really been enjoying them.
They've been such a nice outlet
for us to do. So thanks for listening to them.
Yeah. So and always thanks to Dr. Dave and all our friends that we're checking in on. I think this week we're going to first check in on Dr. Dave and see how he is handling things. Dave is on the front lines in New York City. He is at Columbia Med. And so here we go.
Let's do it.
Dr. Dave Kessler. Dr. DK. Dr. K. Obviously, he's very busy.
Hello.
Great. I'm going to try to greet you with a different positive affirmation every time I call. Hurrah.
Save it.
Huzzah. Sorry.
Huzzah. How are you doing?
Okay. How are you guys doing?
We're fine. We're good. We just had because this thing keeps changing and we keep learning new information, as you've been saying, we just had a few questions about what's happened this past week. And are there new things that you're seeing? Are there changes, either positive or negative, that you've been noticing?
Well, this was a difficult week in New York. For sure.
Yeah.
Some personal losses, and I think probably a lot of people don't have to go too many degrees within their lives to have seen that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry, Dave.
You know, in terms of what I've seen, I guess, from the national news, a couple of small changes, but maybe they give hope. The trials that Fauci was speaking about for some antivirals, I would say they had very modest effects, but it was nice to see a ray of sunshine on, you know, some potential impact on days of disease. Again, I think the focus on the cure is probably not going to be as impactful as the focus on prevention.
Right. We were just talking about that, because even if they do find something that seems to be working, isn't it, with all the trials and the testing, isn't it that going to take at least a year?
Yeah, well, some of these trials, there are, you know, compassionate use and emergency use. And I think it's just really important. Like, we've been through this before, and even back with H1N1, you know, and multiple other examples. When there's so much attention on it, sometimes there's these early hopeful things. But this is why you have to do larger trials and conduct scientific studies, because even things that have been longstanding, like held true, certain antihypertension meds, over time were found to not actually be effective when you got more and more data. So I really think it's too soon. I don't mind the hope. There should always keep hope alive.
Yeah, sure.
But I'm not expecting huge things from the particular drugs mentioned this week.
And does that apply to hydroxychloroquine? Is there maybe some hope that...
Yeah, I mean,
and bleach. I want to talk about injecting bleach, because we're on the fence.
Oh my God! Just to be clear, everyone, he's kidding.
Yeah, kidding. Yep. Yep.
You know, I think that it just says something to our nature as human beings. Like, we want so badly to find a cure, to find a fix. It's surprising to people sometimes to learn that there are often, for most diseases, there isn't really a simple sort of silver bullet or one size fits all. And I don't expect this to be much different. I think the thing that will have the biggest impact from a scientific perspective is once we get to the point of a vaccine. And that is sort of, you know, probably at least, you know, next January, the soonest or so, before we see that going on a mass scale, assuming everything goes, you know, successfully.
I read a really interesting article in The Atlantic where they compared it in a sense to Y2K in the sense that there was so much preparation that was done to prevent a crisis like Y2K, and then when it you can look at Y2K in two different ways. You can say, oh, well, people were exaggerating. It was an exaggeration. Or it was an averted crisis due to preparedness. And I wonder if you would agree with that, that this is similar in the sense that, you know, let's say the numbers are kept. I mean, there's still obviously you're seeing the worst of it. You're seeing people dying now. But let's say they're kept relatively low relative to what the projections were. Is it safe to say that this wasn't an exaggeration then? It was just, you know, whatever measures were put in place have worked and are working.
I only read part of that Atlantic article, but, you know, on the one hand, I feel like what's so different from Y2K is that there was monumental failures to be prepared here in some other countries. We have had just a staggering amount of worldwide deaths, staggering amount. So I think that, to your point, like, would it have been much worse, especially here, had we not done things like stayed at home at certain states? Yeah, it definitely would have been a lot worse. Can we learn from it and say, hey, next time we should have done a lot of these things a lot sooner? I really hope we do. Mm-hmm. And not only that, you know, we're already talking about planning for, you know, second wave or sort of what to do when flu season hits in the fall. And I'm concerned, Justin, that we're not preparing enough for those times. Mm. We're already sort of past the news cycle of the surge.
Yeah.
And people are now sort of looking to find fault in you know, everything and blame. Yeah. And we need to stop blaming each other, including the president. We just need to start working together and saying, let's cut through the BS. Like, what do we need? What do we need for the fall?
What do you think
what
that
do we
is?
Need to be ready?
Well, I mean, what if you could offer a prescription right now for what that is, what could you tell people?
Well, you know, if I had a magic wand, because I don't know how realistic this is, I would say let's really take a hard look at healthcare and how we fund it in this country. Mm-hmm. I'll just say that, like, a lot of hospitals are looking at their books and saying we are either going to close, or we need to figure out how to start making enough money to stay open. The CARES Act and some recovery money has helped certain places. Other places we're seeing around the country are closing. There are emergency rooms closing. Now more than ever, you'd think we'd learn the lesson.
God.
Like, stop looking at emergency rooms as places that need a business model.
Yeah.
They're like roads. We need to maintain them. We need to keep them open. And you know what? Many parts of healthcare are similar. So sure, there's parts of it that are, you know, the business model within medicine cannot be the only model. There needs to be a public health model where we all realize that what we're paying for is times like this in the extreme, but it doesn't need to be a pandemic for us to need those emergency services to be a well-oiled machine that is solely focused on public health and not on how to keep their doors open from a financial sense.
Right, because even outside a pandemic, people wait till the last possible minute to go in and get help. And you had mentioned this last week that a lot of these things were preventable. I mean, could have been preventable had they come in, had they sought help earlier. But of course, people don't want to do that because of insurance problems. I think you're right. I'm sure you're right that a lot of this could be solved with a national healthcare plan that.
You know, it's not even like let's even ease into it. Sure, like, my magic wand would love just national healthcare where it's not about anyone's profit margin that decides healthcare policy. Mm-hmm. 100%. But like, let's even like find the middle ground in between. Let's just agree that just like we want you know, we want to have a fire department, right?
Yeah.
like even though maybe locally, you know, people might be sitting around 6 days out of seven, and then the seventh day they're there for the fire. We want police. You know, we want, these are all sort of like social programs and community workers, right?
Sure.
We want emergency rooms and we want access to care, and we're paying for it one way or another. So let's at least build it right. And I think a perfect example, like, just to, like, right now I'm thinking about, and maybe there's not enough time between now and fall, but, you know, heck, you know, we built entire ICUs and football stadiums around the city.
Mm.
I think that we could look at our actual ERs, our actual infrastructure, some of which in the city hospitals, but not just in city hospitals, but, like, you know, are crumbling and, mm-hmm. and you know, need paint jobs. But let's just look at, like, you know, where we're seating patients so that they're not coughing on each other, so that they're not coughing on the doctors. We are not safe right now. And instead of being incentivized to say, okay, everyone, let's look at your ERs first and say, fix them so that we're safe for the fall. Let's really fix that, you know, from an infrastructure standpoint.
Yeah.
No, we have to focus now. And I get it. Like, I don't blame, you know, my hospital leadership or anything like that, or anyone really. Everyone's playing with the rules they're given. And I don't blame them for saying, shoot, we had to open up the operating rooms so we could start generating, not just generating revenue, treating actual patients, but that's what generates revenue. So that's where the focus on capital will probably go, not towards getting us ready for the next infectious outbreak in the fall.
God, well, I hope this does spur people to action and create just, you know, larger change. I just hope it creates like institutional change, which it sounds like it needs. Thanks, Dave. I'm sorry that you had, I can't imagine what you're going through. And I know you alluded to, I'm sure a lot of your colleagues are struggling. And I know there's been, everyone heard about the suicide of the doctor in New York. And I can't imagine the pressure that you're all under. So I'm so sorry. And, you know, we continue to be so grateful.
Thanks for bringing that up. I mean, I feel like that's the family's, I want to respect the family's privacy.
Yeah, of course.
It's their story to tell. And actually, they've been really, they've been telling that story really well. So I think people can look to hear their sort of points about that. And I'll just say that, you know, one thing is destigmatizing mental health in general.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, mental health is intrinsically part of our physical health. We all struggle with various aspects of it. It shouldn't be seen as sort of black or white.
Mm-hmm.
There are national suicide hotlines and stuff like that people should be aware of, but also don't be afraid just to reach out to a friend who maybe you haven't talked to in a while. Just check in on them. Be there for each other. Show kindness. Show love to each other and reach out to each other, because you never know who's struggling and doesn't have an outlet for someone to share those things with.
Especially now, especially with a lot of people inside and dealing with pressures that were unforeseen and they may not be equipped to deal with, because this is such a new situation for everyone. I just want to say the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, if you are struggling with anything like that, it's 1-800-273-TALK. That's 8255, 1-800-273-8255. Thanks for bringing that up, Dave. And again, just deepest gratitude and so sorry that you're all struggling right now in a way that we can't imagine, but we're very grateful for. So thanks, man.
I think we're all really in this together. And sorry, it's a dark note right now. It's a dark week. But I think that the other end of it is that we have always persevered. We've always, you know, hope is what keeps us going forward.
Yeah.
And I don't like the tone of what's been happening now, that, you know, again, sort of like this happened after 9/11, where it was like rah rah, you know, and
right. And now we're in the clear.
And it's like, now we can start to go back into the sort of our teams and start to look for faults in each other.
Yeah.
I just urge people to sort of think twice before, you know, engaging in those kind of things on social media, and just think, how can I help? You know, what can I do? Even if it's just calling a neighbor.
Yeah.
Let's do something positive.
Yeah. Be kind. That always seems to be the way we should all live. I mean, even outside a pandemic. but this is shining a particular light on it.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Dave. That's really valuable, and I appreciate it. And it's okay. I mean, this doesn't have to be like, you don't have to be a cheerleader. This doesn't have to be a buoyant part of.
I'm sorry, it's a downer.
It's sobering, and it's helpful to be sobering, I think, sometimes, especially.
Can I tell you something? One of the nice things about telehealth has been. And one of the nice things about people being kind now is that I've found people are seeing their doctors and their healthcare workers as people. And that's been really when I'm seeing people and I'm seeing them in their homes and I'm seeing them as people. And I think a lot of people, you know, are experiencing Zoom work calls and saying, oh, look, you know, like we all deal with, you know, maybe a kid in the background or a pet in the background, or, you know, just see where we're living. And, you know, we're seeing each other as more human. That's something I hope we don't lose.
Yeah. We're seeing each other as all basically the same. It's as close as we can get to seeing each other on the toilet. You know, it's like the old saying.
In some cases, that's happened as well.
I think it's Confucius or Socrates who said, well, everyone sheds. I forget who said it. Thanks, Dave. Really appreciate it, buddy. We'll check in next week.
All right.
Okay.
Good.
All right. Sending you love.
All right. Too. Bye, Take care, everyone.
Bye. You know, when you brought up humanizing, the effect that it's had, this situation in terms of humanizing doctors and seeing doctors and seeing everyone as people. I mean, mm-hmm. God, it's in a much more superficial, unimportant way. You see celebrities, famous people as you know, they're in their homes and they're trying to eat. Madonna's doing stuff and her cooking and stuff. But in a far more important way, you see, it's humanizing doctors. And I was just thinking about our own doctor, Hemingway. We had a wonderful pediatrician. Yeah, he was just he still is just the loveliest, warmest person and so great with kids. Had such a gentle spirit, you know. But when I was a kid, I dreaded seeing him. He represented, because I was so afraid of the doctor and what happened in the doctor's office. But in retrospect, he could not have been a more like benevolent, soft-spoken, just like the calmest. And despite that, I was still like, I feared him. You know?
Scary. I still remember the smell of that
waiting
room.
You don't
room.
Both have to remember the smell of isopropyl alcohol and relate it to fear of going to the doctor. it was the alcohol, right? The constant. What was the tab?
I hated that.
The strep throat.
The tongue depressor.
The tongue depressor.
Oh, I hated that feeling. That feeling lasted
That
for
feeling
like,
when.
Yeah. It lasted like half a second, but it was the worst half a second of your year.
And this is how Dr. Hemingway would do it. He'd be like, okay, Jay, open your mouth. It's going to be a little uncomfortable. He was just so like calm. Is that a good? That's not a very good impression.
It's a little too Muppety.
Yeah. Mm. I was doing Ken Kwapis, who directed He's Just Not That Into You. Ken talk. They remind me of each other.
Ken kind of talk like that.
But you're right. And Dr. Dave is right, I think, when he talked about how people are connecting more because of Zoom call. You know, people are working, 50% of the workforce is working from home now. And I think for the most part, they're all using Zoom and things like that. So I think there's an interesting irony in that we are connecting more as people because we're, like he said, we're being let into each other's private lives more while we're disconnected. You know, we're connecting more through this screen and through this technology. So it's an interesting irony. We're not seeing each other now, but yet we're connecting more.
Sorry to interrupt.
You didn't hear a word I just said.
Well, I did. We're connecting more even though it's through a screen. And that's what happened to me last night. I had that feeling. I was on a Zoom hangout with some friends and some of whom were people I don't see that often. I'll see like, you know, maybe twice a year socially, maybe once a year. And it was so fun, and it made me think. Even with Dax, is going to be on the show in a couple of weeks, and we did an interview the other day, and he made the point that were it not for this, we would not make a plan to hang out. People are being more deliberate too about scheduling that because it's
that too.
Yeah,
that too.
Sorry.
No, that's in it. That's a good point as well.
Thanks for listening to it.
It's a little different. A little different than what I was saying.
Well, in my defense, sorry.
Valid.
You
got a Duolingo alert?
No. But that's been going great. Thanks for bringing that up. No, I got from Dave texting me, and he said, I just want to read
Dr.
this.
Dave?
Dr. Dave. Yeah, sorry. Dr. DK. Dr. Kessler said the family set up, Dr. Breen's family set up a fundraising site in her honor. So I just want to read that. It is. You can go to www. Do you have to say that anymore?
No.
I know.
Oh, my God. www.http.
Don't you?
://
You know, I was proud of myself because the whole thing, he sent the whole link, and I was proud of myself for not reading the HTTP part. We shouldn't be laughing. This is if you want to donate in Dr. Breen's honor, it is Dr. D-R. Lorna Breen, BREEN.com. Dr. Lorna Breen. And
did he know her?
Yeah, sounds like he did. And he said, I'm grieving hard this week.
Oh, that's sad.
Fuck. He said she was one of leadership. And he said she was a real vibrant person.
Wow.
That is really fucking sad.
It messed with their brain, right?
Yeah. That's what happened. I mean, Well, that's
or the combination of that and the stress. And
I don't know. Who knows? I don't want to speculate, but I would guess. I mean, it's, and that's again something that I had not considered until this happened. The stress that it, the mental stress that it must, the toll that must be taking on some of these healthcare workers, and you know, you think about soldiers, what they go through. The PT. I was just reading.
That, oh yeah.
Well,
sorry, speaking of soldiers, yeah. that more people have died from than died in Vietnam, the entire war.
Yeah.
Which is, that's an insane statistic, especially if you've seen the Ken Burns docuseries.
I was reading an article about the, it was in response to the Tiger King and how we're really not focused on the right, the real message of the Tiger King. You know, where people are focused on how eccentric the characters involved in it are, but at its heart is this story of this real tragic story of like what we're doing to big cats and how a lot of people are trying to promote the Big Cat Safety Act now in Congress, because it's still up for, I think it's still up for legislation, the Big Cat Safety Act. And so that's, I read an article about that, and they talked about an event that happened, really tragic thing that happened, I think in 2011, I'm not quite sure where somebody, one of these quote-unquote sanctuaries or you know, roadside zoos released all of these animals. And I remember, do you remember this? There were like 30 lions and jaguars.
And they were just like roaming through
the
neighborhood. Yeah.
Yes. And the cops or like animal control, whoever, maybe some SWAT team had to come and they had to kill
them.
That
was in the documentary.
It was. Well, was it?
I think so. I don't know if that specific case, but a case like that was.
Well, this article was interesting. An element that I hadn't considered was the mental toll that it must have taken, the psychological effect that it had on these poor cops or whoever, law enforcement, who had to come and murder these beautiful animals. Anyway, let's. But as Dave said, I mean, like, you can't escape that. It's, you can't check in with a doctor who's on the front lines of this thing, and you know.
Yeah, it's hard to. I know you keep saying it's. Can't put myself in your shoes, but it's true. I think it bears repeating. You say it a lot, but it's true. I think unless you have experienced what it's like being in Dr. Dave's position or the position of being in a war or something, like there's nothing in your life that you've done or in my life that I've done that I can really compare it to.
No.
An overnight Boy Scout trip in cold weather isn't really a comparable situation.
I know. Seeing like a turtle dying on the side of a road, as you know, I remember when our family hit a deer on the Taconic.
I remember that.
Remember that? And it was
you know,
traumatizing.
You know what's crazy? I was very young. I was maybe 7 or 8 or something, but I remember so clearly that I was listening to my Walkman at the time.
Oh my God.
And I was listening to a tape. I was listening to Wouldn't It Be Nice by the Beach Boys.
Ugh.
I remember hearing that song.
Are you serious? How ironic.
I know.
Weird. God, I remember those. Isn't it amazing? I just imagine some of our younger listeners maybe having no idea what we're talking about.
Our tween audience?
Yeah, we do have a really...
We have a vibrant tween audience.
Yeah. We have some tween shorties.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Do, 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 shaboom.
For all the shorties that want voluminous, fanned-out lashes, this ad is for you. The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara creates corner-to-corner panoramic lash volume. Their tapered brush catches every single lash, even those pesky corner lashes. You know who you are, corner lashes. With the Panorama Mascara, you'll easily achieve that effortless, false lashes look. It's one of Christian's favorite looks. Plus, it lasts up to 24 hours and is clump and flake resistant. And just when you thought it couldn't get better, it does. The Panorama Mascara is a lot more affordable than other luxe mascaras. And honestly, it probably does a better job. It's affordable, but it's deceptive because it comes in a premium gold luxe packaging. So if you want a mascara that can do it all, volumize, lengthen, and stay put all day, you can buy the Panorama Mascara on Amazon today. As a podcast listener, I'm sure you know that audio piques the imagination, like especially this show. So if you really want to feel like you're in the story, check out Audible's collection of brand new exclusive thrillers.
Their titles feature captivating sound design, eerie soundscapes, and dynamic performances. So you'll be kept on the edge of your seat.
Here's an interesting psychological thriller that is out right now. It's an Audible original. It's called Oracle. It follows an FBI psychic who can help solve missing person cases when he touches those close to the victims. But of course, it comes at a cost. He'll see the horrific moments before the victims disappeared.
Shorties, I just got chills. You have to listen along with me. You don't have to.
No.
But I think you should.
Yeah, it'd be fun. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/long or text long to 500-500. That's audible.com/long or text long to 500-500.
Hello, hello again. Shaboom and up and we'll meet again.
Okay, well, Let's talk about something fun. Yeah.
We got some good emails this week from you guys.
Yes.
And listeners.
Some questions.
Some fun would you rathers.
Yes. I'm so excited. I haven't read these yet.
I haven't read all of them, but let's just grab a couple of them.
Okay.
She said, so these ideas came from my 4-year-old son and 3-year-old daughter.
Oh, yes. I bet they're going to be good.
I also have a 22-month-old son. Wow, she's been busy.
Wow, where are his ideas?
We live in Vermont, and the quarantine life has been rough on them. I'm a mental health counselor, and therefore my schedule hasn't changed.
Oh, weird.
So my husband is home with them. So she says how her 4-year-old and how her 3-year-old responded to these questions. Would you rather have to wear a princess costume every day or a frog costume?
Oh, that's so good.
Do you want me to tell you what the 4-year-old said and the 3-year-old before your answer?
Yeah, wait, is the son a 4-year-old and the daughter? Not that it really.
4-year-old son, 3-year-old daughter.
Okay. Well, this isn't a kid who was raised in the 80s with very specific gender norms and paradigms. I'm guessing the daughter said, did the daughter say princess costume?
Yes. Okay. And the son said frog.
Right, sorry. all day you have to wear the princess. I would rather.
Let's say for a year. It doesn't specify. Yeah. Mine is pretty easy.
Frog.
Yeah. Well, and
I
not.
I just imagined you with a mustache and a princess outfit all day.
And not just because of the gender norms thing, although that has to play a part.
It would be much more.
It's more. It seems much more difficult to have to dress up as a princess. There's more to the costume.
Not necessarily. It might be more encumbering to be a frog, you know, to have to wear the frog outfit.
Maybe more encumbering, but I think easier to put on and take off. Because the princess, there's so many parts to it. There are pieces. Yeah. There's the dress and the
tutu,
the crown, and the little wand.
The wand. You need the wand.
And a bra, perhaps. I wouldn't want to wear.
Why do you need a bra?
You don't need one, but I'm
you
saying.
You wouldn't need a bra. Do you know what a bra is for?
I'm just.
What princess are you picturing?
Like a really
like Jasmine?
Yeah, like a loose, share, like a fun-loving.
Oh, you'd
loose
have to share
princess.
Your midriff.
Ugh. Even like the most conservative princess would be annoying to dress up as.
A conservative princess would be more annoying to dress up as.
Right, the more pieces.
Yeah.
But less embarrassing for me.
A hipper princess would be easier but more embarrassing. Maybe.
So, all right. Frog, easy for me.
Yeah.
And frog. For you too, right? Because you love frogs.
Yeah, but it's still going to be really embarrassing. Imagine. And
either way,
you have to
wear, of course.
Like, a headpiece, a frog headpiece.
You could hide easier. With a princess, everyone sees that it's you. That's it's easy for me. All right. Okay. Number two.
But by the way, really good one.
Good
was
one.
Was that Allison?
Allison's
kids.
Or her kids.
Yeah.
I think this is their ideas. All right. Number two. Be stuck in the car when 22-month-old has a poopy diaper, or
poopy diaper.
Eat broccoli at every meal.
Oh, that's easy for me. I love broccoli.
Well, it depends how long you're stuck
I hate poopy
in the
diapers.
Car. Does it mean stuck in a poopy car
forever?
For every meal you have for a year?
You have to eat a meal in a poopy car.
Or eat broccoli with every meal? Then it's very easy for me. Then it's definitely broccoli.
Yeah.
Unless you just get used to the poopy car smell.
So
at like 2 weeks into the thing, you're like, that's just what it's like to eat food. I'm in a
You'd
poopy
get
car.
Used to it. Yeah.
You would.
This, I've heard that about people who live near paper factories. Have you ever passed by a paper?
They stink.
Isn't that weird that paper should smell? Stink. The process of making paper should smell so bad. But here, this is also a good point for future questions if people want to write in. And I hope they do because these are really fun. It helps to be as specific as possible about the parameters of these would you rathers.
It does.
And this is a good point. This is, yeah.
Okay, so the four-year-old says stuck in car with poopy diaper.
Oh, really?
And the three-year-old says...
four-year-old must hate broccoli.
Same as above, poopy diaper. They must hate broccoli.
Yeah. Or just be used... They've been living with that poopy diaper smell maybe for 22
And
months.
Allison says, broccoli, what the fuck is wrong with you kids?
She said, what the fuck
Well,
the
WTF.
Kids? Yeah, okay.
WTF kids, is wrong with you kids.
You know, it's funny. People are going to start speaking that way. They're going to start... Those online abbreviations are going to start... They already have slipped into... Our vernacular, you know, WTF.
You're JK.
LOL to that.
Yeah, broccoli easy. I wonder why kids hate broccoli so much. I never really understood that.
IDK.
Brussels sprouts, I understand.
IDKW.
Because Brussels sprouts are kind of farty. But broccoli is so benign to me. It's a strange thing that kids all hate broccoli.
I'll tell you what, though. Broccoli has a real farty smell before you. It doesn't taste farty, obviously. But it has a farty smell when you're making it. Or just,
I guess so, yeah.
Have you ever got a package of broccoli?
But raw broccoli? What's wrong with raw broccoli?
Raw brock?
Well, that's hard to say. Raw broccoli.
I love it. I don't know.
All right, the third one. So you would pick...
yeah, that is weird.
You pick broccoli.
Brussels sprouts also have a farty smell. I would definitely pick broccoli. I like broccoli. And sometimes I have broccoli. I could have broccoli.
Also, here's the other thing.
It's so benign.
A 22-month-old poopy diaper is pretty bad. It's different than like a two-month-old poopy diaper.
Just for a second, it sounded like you said a diaper that had been poopy for 22 months. Can you imagine?
But that's when, you know, once kids are eating real food,
yes.
Then it gets really stinky.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
from my limited experience with changing diapers.
Tell me more, Dr. Spock. But isn't that a good reference?
You don't mean the Star Trek character.
No.
You
the,
mean
the guy who wrote the book about raising kids. What's that book called again?
Did you congratulate your own reference just to make it clear that it wasn't the Star Trek character?
Maybe subconsciously. Yeah, a younger diaper doesn't smell that bad.
Younger diaper.
A more juvenile diaper.
It like smells like nothing. An infant's diaper is...
God, you know, I'll never forget.
So benign.
That when I... shit my pants in kindergarten. It must have smelled. Have we talked about that on the show?
No, let's save it.
Oh, I'll save that. Okay. It'll be a treat for listeners in the future. If you're just tuning in, a new listener.
You were what, sophomore or junior?
I was a freshman.
Okay. And finally, number three, would you rather sleep? I know your answer for this. This is easy. Mm-hmm. Number three, sleep with rotten cheese in your bed or wear garbage shoes.
Garbage shoes?
Yeah.
What are garbage
shoes? I don't
know,
but I know your answer.
I love these kids. These kids are hilarious. Don't you wish you could just like hang out? I mean, I guess we do that with our nephews.
So the four-year-old says garbage shoes and the three-year-old just started to cry.
Oh, I didn't know that was an option. I would just start crying if I knew that was an option.
It's easy for
definitely
me
definitely garbage shoes.
Yeah.
Definitely. Whatever those are. I mean, even the worst type of garbage shoe I can imagine.
I think I'd rather
wear... I couldn't sleep. I wouldn't be able to get to sleep.
Forget rotten cheese. I think I would
Any
rather
cheese.
Wear garbage shoes than like...
Even good cheese.
Sleep with like string cheese in the bed next to me.
Oh my God. You know what's crazy? Not crazy. Why do I keep saying that? This is crazy. And then I'll say something.
It's very millennial of you.
It is. It is.
It's everything very, is yeah. Is
I'm making everything more lit than it should be.
What's the word? Hyperbolic.
Yeah. We have in the house we're quarantining in. A little like a.
You make it sound like we're squatting in someone's house. This is your house.
I don't know why I said it that way. In my house, I have a aloe. Aloe. Is it aloe or aloe?
I think it's aloe.
Aloe. Potato. Is it potato? Potato. Maybe. Aloe. 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 I've heard aloe.
You have.
A-Lo,
I've never
J-Lo.
Heard A-Lo.
J-Lo or
You're
J-Lo.
Thinking of J-Lo. J-Lo. You're thinking of J-Lo.
I have a J-Lo garden. I have an aloe garden. And I was so and I was clearing brush a couple days ago. I was like, whatever. I was trying to clear out this bush. I was cutting down this bush. And I knew that it had poison ivy on it. And I was trying to do it before it bloomed. Because right now it's beautiful out. Everything's starting to bloom. It's spring. So I did it last week. And I got a few little like nicks and like cuts from the brush. And I thought that was it. Like, whatever, it's going to heal. over the last week, it has gotten, it's transformed into this, Christian's looking at it right now, into this itchy mess.
It's pretty disgusting.
It's gross, but it really itches. And I got so excited because I was like, oh, I have this aloe garden or aloe, say now, and I can spread some on there. It still smells. It smelled so bad. It smelled like kind of cheesy.
Ew.
I know.
The aloe?
Didn't I want
you? Are you sure it's aloe?
It is. Yeah. No, but it might be rotten. It might be like rotten aloe.
My stomach just turned.
Sorry. That we could use that in a would you rather. Would you rather be slathered with rotten aloe?
My stomach is like flipping around.
Or sleep in a bed with, what is the kid's thing? Sleep
rotten cheese.
Rotten cheese.
Well, yeah. It's been a pretty crazy week in quarantine, I see. You slathered rotten aloe on your poison ivy.
Yeah, well, I can't believe
we did a lot of yoga.
We have been doing a lot of yoga. Yeah, shout out to Tim Sinesi. He's great to follow on YouTube.
So just to finish your little email here.
Yeah. Wow.
I would wear garbage shoes. I mean,
yeah.
Unless the garbage was made of rotten cheese.
Did they mean so?
But even then, I would rather have it on my feet than in my bed.
Although it would float up to you, especially on a hot day. Imagine doing things. I don't
know. What a gross one.
Yeah, but good one.
Well done. Yeah. She said, are you sure you want children?
That's funny. I want children more now. Because kids are the best. We were just FaceTiming with our nephews, and he's at the funniest, he's at the best age. He's like,
he's around, he's two.
Oh, yeah, almost three. No? Two and a half.
Yeah, I don't think he's quite two and a half.
Sorry. Well,
I don't know. Yeah, maybe two and a half.
Yeah, okay, whatever. He's at a cute age.
She said, anyway, thank you for the laughs and break from reality during this time. Stay safe, Allie. Thank you, Allie. That was a great
great one.
Great letter. So, yes, we've done yoga every day this week.
You know, we were going to try our...
We've done...
What else?
What have we done? We watched the...
Last Dance. It's so good. And
my mustache continues to grow.
That's right. In fact, you've been getting shamed a lot for the mustache. We talked about this already, how you look like Bob's Burgers. But our uncle actually shamed you publicly on Facebook.
I posted a picture of my new Luke.
By the way, not to bury the lead, but we should preface this by saying, just when you're considering this, our uncle's name is Dick Long.
That's right.
I'm just going to leave that out there. I'm not going to editorialize it.
Richard Long, but as far as I know, he exclusively goes by Dick Long. So in the phone book, you can imagine what that might look like.
He was in the military also at one point, and so when they were calling roll call, you can also imagine what that would sound like.
Last name first name last.
Right.
Okay. Long, comma, Dick.
Right. That's just his name.
Yeah.
We're not being crude.
No. So I posted a picture of my new Luke on social. Do you like when people say that?
No.
On my socials.
And my feed.
Ugh, that's not as gross to me as socials.
Yeah.
And the response was of my mustache.
How was it received?
It was either like people either said, oh, looks good, or that's funny looking. Because it's true. It is funny looking.
Yeah.
I think. It's silly because people with mustaches, it's not a look that people have anymore. It used to be such a popular look.
Yeah, it was at one point in the 70s was like a real sexy look.
Yeah, it was like a macho man look. And now it's like a pervert look. And I don't know when that happened.
Well, I don't think it's exclusively.
The pervert, the pederast took over the mustache.
Yeah, it's like what happened to Charlie Chaplin's mustache.
That's true.
You know, Hitler's just Chaplin was the biggest star in the world for years. It'd be like, I'm trying to think of a specific look that Brad Pitt, let's say, has, or you know, if someone's, I don't know what look he would have, but like if some dictator, some like murderous, like tyrannical,
like, you know, it's a good example.
Look like Brad Pitt.
Justin Bieber, when he rose to popularity, when he had and he'd always flick his hair. Every kid started having that hair.
Yeah. And it created like tics in kids.
Uh-huh.
That hair flipping tic.
Yeah.
I hated that look.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I prefer Justin Bieber's little wispy mustache look.
You do?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I like that he's, like, committing to that, and I like that he's committed to that.
Yeah, he's a little Tiger King husbandy right now.
Yes. Oh, my God. Tiger King husband goals. Yeah. But what did Uncle Dick say about your mustache?
Every single person either laughed at it or said it looked nice, good in some way.
Yeah, but people have been – they're friendly on socials usually.
And Uncle Dick said – commented –
you gotta read it verbatim.
Something to the effect of.
Oh, you gotta read it verbatim.
I don't want to look it up. Something. It was very simple.
Okay.
It was. I preferred. I preferred. you when you didn't have a mustache or something. I preferred how you looked without a mustache. I think that's what it was. I preferred how you looked without a mustache. And first of all, it's strange that he's the only person I know who said anything critical of it. And two, and more importantly, I think, it's so weird to me that he has an opinion about when I look my best.
Yes.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
I like my Uncle Dick, but I see him so infrequently. I see him once every few years at most.
That he...
It's strange that he's cultivated an opinion
of your looks.
How he likes the way I look.
Yeah, you're the most, the best aesthetic that you, that he has an opinion of your aesthetic. I wonder what he thinks of my look. Like if I were to...
You should post a picture on Facebook.
Yeah, and ask him what he, that he had already, that he valued it in any way. It's, in a way, it's flattering that our uncle is considering your, how different you might
be. He's judging me.
He's judging you aesthetically.
I don't think I'll keep the mustache.
Because of that?
Once this quarantine is over. Not because of that. But because the perverts have, like I said, taken over that look. And I don't really want to be out in public with it.
That's true.
For that long.
That's
It looks silly.
I wonder how that happened. I wonder how the mustaches became synonymous with
perverts. I don't know.
Because I'm just thinking of the, there'd be an interesting Malcolm Gladwell case for the tipping point we mentioned last week. You mentioned how it went from like Tom Selleck and Burt Reynolds and like studs, like masculinity to...
It was probably one pervert that tipped it over.
I wonder who it was. Jeffrey Dahmer had a little mustache.
No, not like that. Not like that.
Well, in the pervert...
And he was... he. I wouldn't classify him as a pervert, though.
You wouldn't?
No, he was one, but I
He used to fuck skulls and stuff.
No, no, I know. Obviously, he's perverted. Was perverted.
Oh, but the things he... He's more of a cannibal.
Exactly. There are things... Right. He has attributes that trump his being perverted, I think.
Right.
Like he murdered people.
Right. It's like you can't say about Hitler. You wouldn't say about Hitler.
His favorite color was red.
Yeah, or he didn't have a great sense of humor.
Right.
It's like, their negative attributes completely.
So a pervert, I would say, like, you know, Jerry Sandusky is more of a pervert.
Oh, right. He didn't have a mustache.
More of a pedophile. No, that's true.
Yeah, well, maybe we should get... This is a slippery slope.
Should we do?
Can we read another Would You Rather?
Sure.
I know, it's getting a little long.
That's all right. Let's do one more.
Yeah, these are fun.
Because there's a bunch. We'll save more for next week. Someone, Jenny B, had an idea for those paper cranes. She wrote
Who's making origami.
Yeah, she said, here's an idea for the 1,000 paper cranes. Put each one up for an online bid for a minimum of $1 plus postage. The people receiving the cranes will receive the wish of ending COVID-19, and then he can donate the proceeds to the hospital or COVID research.
That's cool.
He'd help make his own wish come true. Thank you, Jenny B.
That's good a great idea.
Yeah. So if you're listening, sir.
Yeah, I know Jenny B.
All right, let's do one more Would You Rather email.
Okay. excuse me.
Hello, hello. This is from Whitney H.
What does that make you think of? Hello, hello.
Hello,
again. That's what I was thinking of, the song.
Yeah, for this show
yeah.
that we're on right now. Okay, this is from Whitney H. The subject, Would You Rather. Hello, hello. Myself and my boyfriend play Would You Rather a lot, normally a few rounds before we go to sleep.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's our way of unwinding from the day and have a giggle.
Ah, I like that.
There's nothing ever really off limits in the game, and they can get pretty gross and pretty dark real fast. I thought I would send you some of the more lighthearted ones.
Ah.
You want some of the dark ones?
Yeah, I want the gross dark ones.
All right. Number one, we should do these fast. There's five of them.
Oh, okay.
Number one, would you rather never have to cut your finger or toenails again?
Oh,
Or not ever have to maintain body hair, face pubes, chest pubes.
All the pubes,
etc. So everything would stay the perfect length forever.
Wait, I see.
So you never have to maintain it and you just...
I wouldn't care about that. I don't care about having to maintain hair. I don't want my nails to grow. Can you imagine living with... I saw a woman in the
street. But I think it's more about having to do the work of maintaining the nails and the hair. Because I wouldn't want to I think that's what the question is.
Oh, wait, wait, wait. She's saying, would you rather not have to maintain your hair or your nails?
Exactly.
Oh.
It's easier to maintain your nails.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't want to pick the same hair look for the rest of my life.
Like now. I mean, sometimes you want a pervert mustache.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I would rather have to keep maintaining my hair, even though it's easier to maintain your nails.
Yeah. Okay. Me too.
Okay. Number two, would you rather eat food in its food form, but it tastes like nothing?
Hmm.
It would still have the texture, feel, and smell, but had no taste, or have food that is a brown room temp mush that has all the taste of food.
Oh.
I would rather the taste of food.
Yeah, I'd have the mush.
You get used to the mush. I don't value texture all that much. Would
it taste like different foods? Or
yeah, I think so, yeah.
Oh, yeah, mush.
I would take the mush.
Yeah. Flavorful mush for me.
Yeah. Okay. All right, number three. Would you rather have tiny dicks for fingers or have tiny dick toes?
Oh.
Easy toes.
Easy toe dicks.
You put them in shoes.
Yeah.
I might want to have toe dicks.
Yeah, it'd be kind of cool. Wait, why would you want to have toe dicks?
I don't know. Yeah. It might look funny.
It would definitely look funny. I would love for you to have toe dicks, selfishly. And I don't wear a lot of, like, I don't go barefoot publicly that much. It'd be a fun thing to, like, a fun party trick. This might be a reason to want finger dicks. What if...
Can you get sexual pleasure from them?
Right.
Mm. Interesting. Hadn't considered that.
That'd be maybe pleasure overkill. That might be too much. Toe dicks.
Then you'd have 11 dicks.
Yeah, but think about this. If you had all your toe dicks in a shoe or a sock or something...
It might be too pleasurable?
Maybe.
No, you'd all be cramped in.
That's true.
What are you, a 15-year-old boy?
That's true.
The friction would do it for you? All right, four. Would you rather have no lips or no eyelids?
Oh, no lips or no eyes.
Does no eye...
Would your eyes dry out?
Eyes bugged, your eyes just bugged out when you imagine
that. I just wanted to...
Would your lips... Would it be like eyelids. All of this so all your teeth are showing? Like this? Like
showing. Christian just bared his teeth.
Like that? Yeah, or would it just be like the actual lip part?
Like, what was that Jim Carrey character? Oh,
The Mask?
No. A little like The Mask. It's a version of The Mask. No,
In Liar Liar?
No, in Living Color when he was
there. Oh, yeah.
Fire Marshal Bill.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something.
Would it be that? If it's just the red part of your lip, I'd rather get rid of that than the eyelids. Or
you
but
would?
Is,
I'd rather get rid of my eyelids.
Really? It'd be really scary. Because then you could wear shades a lot.
You wear shades. I already wear
really
a
cover...
sleeping mask.
Yeah, but not to function in life. I would rather lose my lips.
You would. Lips are very important, and
you could still talk.
Yeah, but imagine, like, I hate to say, I don't want to make everything sexual, but like, imagine kissing somebody with no lips. Haven't you ever kissed somebody with like very little lips?
You mean when someone else has little lips?
Yes,
I've never had little lips.
You don't purse your lips. Yeah.
Yeah, it makes a difference. But even without lips, you would still have like a ridge where you're.
I don't know. I'm now picturing you, and it would be so gross. It would just go from your mustache hair right into your teeth.
I would still say no lips, I think. It just depends what you mean by lips, I think.
Yeah.
How much of the lip.
And would your eyes dry out?
Like, exactly.
Probably not. I mean, I always assume these hypotheticals are like you don't suffer physical side effects.
Okay, and finally, five, would you rather be too hot or too cold? It depends on how hot or cold. But in general,
if it's like a manageable hot or cold.
Yeah, I prefer being cold.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I prefer being hot.
Oh, wow.
Do you hear that?
Stomach?
Yeah. Somebody else was like, can Justin eat something before you do these?
Oh, you're reading a lot of the reviews lately.
See, those are the ones that stick in my crawl. People write the nicest thing.
Crawl.
Is that an old man thing to say?
It sure is.
I like that expression.
I thought it was craw.
Oh, I thought like crawl space.
I think it's, I always thought it was craw.
Oh, shorties?
Stick in my craw.
Stick in my craw. What's a craw?
I don't know, but I think it's craw.
Is that like...
Our brother is going to shame us.
Oh, yeah. By the way, speaking of our brother, Damien, he did shame us. Did we talk about this? How he shamed us for... what was that thing he said we mispronounced?
Iroquois.
Oh, yeah. The Native American tribe, Iroquois. Christian said Iroquois.
I think I said Iroquois.
Yeah. And he said, no, it's actually...
Iroquois or something.
Wait.
It was such a subtle difference.
Yeah. I got to look this up.
Let me finish reading this little last part of this email. thank you so much for the wonderful podcast and helping me break up which day is which. I lost my job the second day into lockdown, so instead of stressing and worrying, I've chucked myself into doing an online animation course, which I have been meaning to get back into for such a long time, and focusing on my design portfolio, WhitneyHughes.design, and my little online store, thingsbypickles.bigcartel.
This is a smart letter because it's very pluggy.
It makes me so happy to have too much to keep me busy. Also, I have started re-listening to the podcast from the beginning because it just makes me smile inside and out. Cheers, Whitney.
The podcast Life is Short on Spotify and Wondery.
Yeah, or wherever you get podcasts. Thank you, Whitney. That's really nice.
That was nice. And also, yeah, smart. Okay, so our brother shamed us thusly. In a text, he said, "It's because Christian had said Iroquois Indians. Damien said Iroquois. He's going to love this. Iroquois, not Iroquois. And then I looked it up, and I said, it's actually Iroquois. Mm. And he said, I'm going to need to see sourcing on that.
But we don't need to see sourcing when he corrects us.
No. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, anyway, that's our brother, but we love him and he's funny and smart. And if it weren't for Damien, we wouldn't know Dave Kessler, and he's been such a great part of the show. So
let's
wrap it up.
Let's wrap it up.
Should we call old?
I don't know.
Let's call her.
All right.
Might as well.
Just for a minute.
Yeah. We're going to call her mother really quickly. We've been dealing with her a lot. I've been shopping for her because we don't want her leaving the house. And,
Justin bought organic avocados for her, and she got upset.
Yeah, genuinely.
Let's hear her take on that.
Okay, all right. And lemons. She didn't like that I bought organic. So she eats some organic.
Yo.
Yo.
Hi,
hon. Yo, yo.
Yo.
Hey, Mom. What's up? We were just recounting the fact that I bought you organic lemons, and I was telling Christian that you got sort of upset that I got organic lemons and avocados.
Can you? Yeah, because if something has a hard skin, you don't need it to be, because you're not going to eat the skin.
But it's still porous.
Yeah, it's part of the GMOs and whatever toxins, chemicals they're using, that gets into the whole fruit or vegetable.
Oh, since when are you a horticulturist?
Ooh. Since when are you? Since when are you? Where'd you hear that?
I mean, I don't know. I read, you know, bananas and avocados.
I'd
like some sourcing.
Yes.
Well, I have my sources. You have your sources.
All right. It sounds like fake news to me.
Let's just please. Let's just happy compromise.
All right. Agree to disagree. Hey, what, Mom? What are you doing?
Well, I just finished my yoga and then my centering prayer, and then I did mass at the university.
Oh, wait.
You know what today is? Today is virtually Zoom.
The feast of the.
Feast
of the yogi,
Saint Joseph.
Saint Joseph the worker.
Oh, what is?
Do you feel centered?
Well, yeah, mildly so.
You're askew.
In the midst of my anxiety.
Well,
but, yeah.
What's number helps. One? What's number one on the anxiety list?
Oh, my kids getting this and being because I don't know if you really had it, Justin.
Ooh. No, I know. I may not have. I mean, that's why we're.
Do you think I had it?
Yeah, I think you did, Christian.
How? But if this thing is so transmissible, how would he have had it and not? How would I not have gotten it?
I suppose, but you know, there's so much now with the immunity not being something that is actual and.
Well, no, it's just that they don't know exactly what.
Also, but they say that 50% of people who have it don't show symptoms, so. I think it makes more sense in light of that fact that Justin did have it because he had such mild symptoms, but at least he showed some symptoms.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm grateful you got.
We lost her.
Lost her.
Oh, well.
Anyway.
Okay. I'm grateful you guys. She's been worrying a lot. But fortunately, she's letting us shop for her. Unfortunately, she's.
Shaming you for buying organic produce.
Yes. All right.
Let's read a letter.
Yeah. By the way, we're going to call her back just in case you're thinking that's mean. And we didn't hang up on her. I just want people to know that.
We only hang up on Jerry.
Yeah. Who I don't know if he wanted a call this week. Jerry's been hard to reach.
We'll try him next week, maybe.
Yeah. Okay. This is from Melissa A. This is from Melissa A. Subject, can we stay in quarantine longer to keep getting extra episodes on? think people are going to like that, but selfishly, I like that. Hello, Justin and Christian. I just wanted to let you know how much I'm loving your quarantine check-ins. That's great to hear. I love the podcast in general, but these extra check-ins are a great bonus. Thank you, Melissa. I work as a lab tech for a company that runs animal blood work, so we are considered essential personnel and are still working through this pandemic. I can listen to podcasts at work, so the extra episodes are really nice right now. Your check-ins with Jerry are hilarious, and I'm so happy your grandmother's staying safe and healthy. My grandmother's in her 90s and unfortunately was just confirmed positive because of an outbreak in her nursing home. Shit. Thankfully, so far, she is asymptomatic. Wow. And is feeling okay. That's wow. In your last quarantine check-in, you talked about nominating a business around us that have been doing great during the pandemic. And I wanted to nominate a small family-run pizza place. Cool. In my town, this is a pizza place in Plainfield, Connecticut. It is called Gus Pub and Pizzeria. Pizzarama, I'm sorry, Gus Pub and Pizzarama. It's a great name. This is our favorite in our town, and we try to eat there as often as we can. The food is delicious, and the staff is always so nice and helpful. The owner is always helping people in line, and whenever I get a pizza from there, he makes sure to open it for me to make sure I think it looks okay. It's such a nice restaurant, and we appreciate everything they have done to keep serving food, but also keeping themselves and their customers safe. That's great. Gus Pub and Pizzarama, Plainfield, Connecticut. Anyways, sorry this is so long. I really love all the happiness and laughs that your podcast brings to people. Thank you guys for everything you do, Melissa. Thank you so much, Melissa. And I'm glad you did that because I was wondering about, you know, other small businesses we could talk about. And I had this thought. I know it's not a small business. It's actually quite a large business at Trader Joe's. But the Trader Joe's near us in Westport, Connecticut, there's also one in Fairfield. It's shut down right now. But the one in Westport, the way they've been running things is just so efficient. And there's a guy named their name Jared, who I'm wearing a mask covering almost my entire face. And I was there yesterday. He goes, "Hey, Justin."
Wow.
Yeah, really. I mean, I was like, how the hell did he?
You're so famous that just your eyes give you away.
maybe from Jeepers Creepers. I didn't mean that. Well, maybe subconsciously I did. Oh, my God. Scary. I got to examine that. Anyway, thanks, Melissa. And sounds like a great place there. And thanks to Jared and everyone at Trader Joe's for keeping us all safe and feeling positive.
And if you guys want to nominate a small business that you like or that you own, feel free to do so at lifeisshort@wondery.com. We also love all sorts of letters, including
Would You Rathers.
Yes.
That's fun. And looking forward to The Last Dance, if you've been watching it, episodes 5 and 6. I love the stuff with Isaiah Thomas and the Detroit Pistons. That was so fun. Maybe we'll talk about that next week. And we'll check in. We'll try Jerry again next week and Dr. Dave. And as always, thanks again to Dr. Dave and to all the healthcare professionals and everyone, the delivery people, the people at Trader Joe's, at the grocery stores, everyone keeping us sane and safe and relatively normal during this abnormal time. And thanks to all of you.
And to our mother for picking up her phone.
Yeah, that was nice. We're going to call her back right now.
And to all of you, thanks for listening. And we will see you soon. We will hear from you soon, hopefully. And you'll hear from us soon.
Life could be a dream. Life could be a dream. Do-do-do-do-do-shaboom.
Life is Short is hosted by me, Justin Long. It's produced by you,
Christian Long.
And her,
Megan Monaco.
I'm pointing to Los Angeles. As senior producer is, I'm pointing to Brooklyn, Michelle.
Mish.
Lands.
Audio engineer is Sergio Enriquez.
Executive producers are Marshall.
Louie.
And Hernan.
Lopez.
For
Wondery.
Do, 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 shaboom.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Life is Short ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus and Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Hello, I'm Johnny Knoxville.
And I'm Elna Baker, and we have a new podcast. It's called Pretty Sure I Can Fly.
Yep, we've teamed up with my friends and bar mates from Smartless to create a podcast where we talk to folks who have more balls in a bowling alley.
People who accomplish something extraordinary despite people telling them that it couldn't or shouldn't be done.
You'll hear stories about the Air Force doctor who buckled into a 600-mile-per-hour rocket sled and became the fastest man on the planet.
And a man who wrestles alligators and sharks for fun.
Do not do this.
You'll hear about a foul-mouthed moonshiner.
Got a 2-inch dick and a 6-inch tongue and knows how to use both of them.
And an even more foul-mouthed female stunt pilot. We got bull riders.
Balloonists.
Bobsledders.
And big wave surfers. People who lay their balls on an anvil and hand the other fella the hammer.
Okay. I bet you've actually done that, Johnny.
Maybe for sweeps. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.